Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Individual Defensive Podcast brought to you by In This League. We did skip Thanksgiving week. Sorry, we were trying to make it work. Just couldn't get it all together. But we are back to talk some IDP. It's me, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm here with Gary Davenport, as always, at IDP Sharks on the Twitter machine. Gary, I know the weekend was rough and then good. You know, the Browns got a big win against the Bucks in overtime. Nick Chubb looked good. This week's going to be an interesting one for your Browns. So, like, are you looking forward to this? Are you dreading this? What is your, as a Browns fan, what is your outlook on the Browns this weekend?
Both. I'm looking forward to it and dreading it. I mean, purely from a football perspective, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
It's going to be a circus, especially.
For sure.
It had to be in Houston. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll be glad to get it over with. My expectations for Watson are not especially – I mean, it's been almost 2 years since he took a meaningful snap.
It's unprecedented, this layoff.
Although, if you go back through the history of the quarterback position, at least, guys that had a long layoff and then come back, they've got a pretty good track record of succeeding. Now, granted, like Mike Vick, it took him a little while to get back to where he – but he did get back to that spot, so – the Browns aren't going anywhere in 2022 anyway, which is disappointing. They should be better than 4-7. They really should.
The Steelers are 4-7. Yeah.
But, you know, at this point, you're playing for next year. And I think, honestly, Cleveland kind of knew that going into this year, that there was a pretty good chance 2022 was going to be a wash. So yeah. Gear up for next year.
Yeah, exactly. So going to be an interesting week. That is for sure. In terms of IDP news, we have a lot of injuries and stuff. Aaron Donald has an ankle sprain. Charles Harris, the defensive end for the Lions, was placed on IR, and they elevated James Houston from the practice squad. He had 2 sacks on Thanksgiving. Russo, Edmonds, and Epinesa all practice and should be good to go for Thursday Night Football for the Bills. Azeez Ojulari for the Giants was designated to return from IR. Devondre Campbell has missed 4 straight, and Chase Young still not back, although they're saying he should be back this week, finally, right? Is this the week for Chase Young, Gary?
So they keep saying. We'll see. That Washington defense is playing well without him. They're quietly top 10 in a lot of categories, including team defense fantasy point. I mean, Montez Sweat has been great despite not having Young opposite
Payne
him,
and so. Allen have been incredible.
Right.
So good.
It was certainly a good week if they could get Chase Young back, because this is a big game for them against the Giants. You got two teams that are trying desperately. Not the team that loses that game is essentially toast in the division and just playing for a wild card. I mean, not that it's likely either of them would catch Philly anyway, but if you lose that game and get that fifth loss, then you're done so far as any aspirations of an NFC East championship. So it'll still be a good game.
It's crazy that all 3 wild cards right now are from the East, the Cowboys, Giants, and Commanders.
Come on, we all picked the NFC East to be the best division in football.
Of course we did. No one called them the NFC least ever. So
no.
That's good. Yeah, we've just been expecting that this the entire time. Yeah, there's a lot of injuries too. I mean, a lot of little bangs and bruises. Christian Harris re-injured his shoulder. Eddie Jackson with the foot left. That didn't look good. Winfield, another ankle injury here. Andrew Booth out for the season with a knee. We saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson leave with a rib injury. Darnell Savage, Ryan Neal, Antonio Hamilton, Xavier Woods, and Ashton Davis all left as well. A lot of defensive backs hurt. not a lot of other positions, but
yeah, I'm not confident, and it's a damn shame because Eddie Jackson was having such a great year.
He really
I would not expect to see him out there against Green Bay this week. It didn't look good.
Yeah, it just there's a lot of more guys that are questionable than out, you know, that we'll see, which is annoying. Because you know, the defensive side of the ball gets less press coverage, which means we know less going in, and then random guys get sat on Sunday, which is super obnoxious. But was there anything? I guess what I want to ask you here, Gary, is who have you changed your mind on the most? Now, you know, we're at least 2/3 of the way through the season here in terms of fantasy. You know, we've got the playoffs coming up in 2 weeks here. So when you like look at the 10,000 foot view of IDP, who has your opinion changed on the most, good or bad? Either way, either this guy is really good, I didn't expect it, or this guy fell off and I did not expect that.
Well, the most unexpected probably got to be Jonathan Owens, just because no one expected him to do a thing this year. I think he's got 7 games this year with double digit tackles, which is just ridiculous. Apparently being engaged to Simone Biles makes you a better football player. you know, you got to look at Max Crosby.
Crosby as a player.
I mean, we thought he was going to be good, but I don't think anyone expected, you know, Nick Bosa, Miles Garrett, for him to work his way into that, the elite first tier.
Has almost 30 more points than the next highest scoring defensive lineman. It's Max Crosby at 134 and Brian Burns at 104.75, just in terms of defensive linemen for fantasy. And I'm looking at Fantrax scoring. It's the normal, it's what we would call the high tackling normal scoring. But he has been outstanding, 10.5 sacks. You know, he's in the double digits here. Bosa, Crosby, Burns, Garrett, Highsmith, Chris Jones. Are there any linebackers or guys that only qualify? Yeah, Judon has 13.
Parsons
has 11. Yeah, so, you know, only, what is that, 10, 11 guys?
SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
With double-digit sack numbers, and he has tackles to rack up, 267.
Oh, yeah, that's
tackles.
That's what really separates Crosby.
50. He's 10 ahead of Wilkins, who is second at 57.
Tackle production has been just obscene this year. And then linebacker's been nothing but surprise. How many names are toward the top of the linebacker list that no one expected? A lot out.
Jordan Brooks is one, but after that, it's Rashawn Evans is 2.
Right.
Was, you know, not a surprise. He led last year. But then Franklin, Bolton, Roquan down at 6, Mosley at 7, Hicks over Kendricks at 8. We talked about that before the season, how that was a possibility. Tranquil up in the top 10 is a surprise. Devin White at 10. Edwards at 11 and Okereke at 12. Nowhere do you see Shaq Thompson on that list.
Right.
You know, yes. And Micah Parsons is, you know, just in terms of scoring for IDP, he's 18th. You know, so he's just
Franklin, Okereke, guys like Michael Walker and Frankie Louvu and Rashawn Evans. And, you know, Pete Werner was having an outrageous smashing expectations before he got hurt. And then Caden Ellis stepped right in and started putting up the same numbers.
I mean, he really did.
Look at Caden Ellis and Jack Sanborn over the last month. It's just been ridiculous. Sanborn's the highest scoring linebacker in fantasy football over the last month. Caden Ellis is number two. And five weeks ago, neither of those guys was rostered anywhere.
I mean, that's true, especially Ellis. Ellis was a straight up backup. What about defensive backs, Gary? I mean, we got Derwin at number one in scoring. Legarius Sneed is second highest. We all had that, of course. Then it was Eddie Jackson, obviously, until this injury. Buda Baker, who has had a bad year, is still fourth in scoring. CJ Gardner-Johnson with six picks. Of course, he got hurt this week. Julian Love, Hufanga, Jonathan Owens, who you mentioned before. Brisker is ninth in scoring, and he missed last week. Harrison Smith at 10, Petrie at 11, and Richie Grant as your top 12 here. So, a mixed bag here, but like it always is, defensive backs mainly surprises, right?
Right. And, you know, Hufanga's been kind of big play reliant.
Yeah.
Eddie Jackson was the player this year that we thought Kevin Byard would be. Solid tackle numbers, some big plays.
80 tackles.
Top 10 guy. That's kind of what I expected Byard to do. And he just stole all his evil powers away from him. But defensive backs, I mean, like I said, Jonathan Owens legitimately surprised me because he was nowhere near the IDP radar heading into the season. I mean, some of those other guys you'd at least heard of, like I mentioned Hufanga before the season, this guy maybe to take a look at because that strong safety spot in San Francisco had shown some potential in the past. And I liked what I saw from Hufanga in the couple starts that he made last year. But Jonathan Owens, I had to look up and see who Jonathan Owens is. And I'm supposed to be like an expert at this stuff. So well, it's just, I kept waiting for it to, you know, because he came out so just on fire the first few weeks of the season. I'm like, this ain't going to last. It has. Like I said, seven, I think, 10-plus tackle games in 10 or 11
weeks. We also got benched. And, like, when he got benched, I thought, all right, well, that's a wrap on Jonathan Owens, right? And then the next week he was starting again and back up to those.
Legitimately a one-game deal. Lovie Smith just looked at him and said, well, you can't tackle Derrick Henry, and sat him down. And then as soon as they got past Tennessee, he was like, all right, kid, you're back in there.
So let's see how many of these names you can get, Gary. Nine players, and we've just mentioned all of their names, and I believe they're all linebackers. Yes, all linebackers. Nine players have combined for 100 tackles. Derwin James has 99. So 101 to 121, can you name the nine here that have over 100 tackles this season?
Brooks.
Yep.
Aluakim.
Yep.
Evans.
No. Yes, yes, really? Sorry. Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, he's number one, 121. My bad.
TJ Edwards.
Yes, 103.
Jordan Hicks.
Hicks is not in the top nine there.
Zaire Franklin.
Yep.
Bobby Okereke.
Yep. At 101.
I'm going to kick myself for missing.
You're missing one, two big ones and one surprise.
Okay, I'm blanking. I got six. That's right. Good enough.
Roquan. Yeah, I said Roquan. Moseley.
Moseley.
Bolton was the other one with 104. So
I liked Bolton coming in this year, and he finally, we have a reliable Kansas City Chiefs linebacker. Will wonders never cease.
He stacked it up at the end of the year last year. So I had him high, but I didn't think he was going to be as good as he is. So, but yeah, he has been outstanding. Let's take a look at the performers from last week. The good defensive lineman of week 12, Brian Burns, got to the QB twice. These are all guys rostered over 50%. Jalen Phillips with over 13 points, just at 51%. So he's available in a lot of leagues. Alex Highsmith got to the quarterback again, also forced a fumble. The aforementioned Max Crosby, 1.5 sacks this week. Sam Hubbard, Myles Garrett, Montez Sweat, Leonard Williams, and Bradley Chubb, all 8 points or more. More players on the bad game this week from defensive linemen that are rostered over 50%. Donald obviously got hurt. Grady Jarrett Gravedigger, that's 2 weeks in a row. He's come back down to normal for Javon Hargrave. Nwosu, I think that's 2 weeks in a row for him on the bad list. DeMarcus Lawrence, Quinn Williams, Cam Jordan, Trey Hendrickson, Grover Stewart, Trayvon Walker, Thibodeau, Cam Hayward, and Aiden Hutchinson with the donut on Thanksgiving. So a lot of guys underperforming. You know, there's a lot of high variance among defensive linemen, but we've seen, you know, my boy Cam, who I love, has shown up on this list.
He has disappointed. He has disappointed this year.
I mean, Cam Jordan, I feel like, has been a bit of a disappointment as well, right?
Well, he's fighting that. He missed a game for the first time in his career. Had that eye injury. I don't know if that really had an impact against. You know, it's hard. Jimmy Garoppolo is really not an easy quarterback to sack. And, I mean, you look at, like, Nwosu. If you watch that Seattle Raiders, they got no push. I mean, they got next to no pressure.
That's why Jacobs had 300 scrimmage yards. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That bad Seattle defense was back in force in that game. So be interesting to see how they rebound this week. You know, they've got the closest thing you're going to get to a gimme in the NFL right now, playing Bryce Perkins and the Rams. If you can't get it done there, you got problems.
Yeah. And then with Grover Stewart, who has been just great at getting tackles among defensive tackles here, they just didn't run the ball up the gut that much, the Steelers, you know. And he came into that game sick, too. So I'm not worried about, like, guys like Grover Stewart on Hargrave. How about some potential adds here? Guys that are rostered under 50%. Ed Oliver at 15.5 points. He had a sack, a forced fumble, and a recovery. Malik Collins for Houston had 2 sacks. And Ngakoue had 2. Daquan Jones, Hamilton Tuttle, Broderick Washington, Calais Campbell, Puna Ford, Nunez Roaches, Marcus Haynes, Kingsley and Agbare, Andrew Billings, Al Woods, and J.J. Watt were all at least 8 points or more and rostered under 50%. Not a lot to get excited about. I mean, Ed Oliver's been on fire. But other than that, Gary, maybe Ngakoue, I don't really like anybody else on this list that much.
Yeah, Ngakoue's been kind of hot the last 3 or 4 weeks, so he would probably top it. And, you know, I might add J.J. Watt just for the hell of it because I love J.J. Watt, and he's a nice guy to have on the roster.
Yeah, yeah, good one. You know, he got to the quarterback here, and that's what you're asking from him these days. In terms of the linebackers, Gary, a lot of good performers here. As always, we had 19 guys score over 12 points. I kind of had to, I usually go to 10. I had to cut it off. So many of these guys are rostered. We know who they are. Olakun had 18 total tackles. Brooks had 16, 15 for Jack Sanborn, who you talked about before. A couple of these guys got to the quarterback. Isaiah Simmons on the good list again, 8 solos and another sack. Jordan Hicks got a sack. So did Kirksey and Jalen Phillips, who we talked about before.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Tips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
So a lot of the normal names. The guys that didn't perform, Gary... Zaven Collins, Khalil Mack, Kaiser White, Devin Lloyd, Matt Judon, Deion Jones, and Von Miller. Von Miller left on a cart on Thanksgiving. But Judon didn't get to the QB. It's a little surprising, especially with the you know, Darisaw was down. Collins had a pick called back on a penalty. So should have had a decent game, but got screwed out of an interception. I don't know. Are you worried about Devin Lloyd, Kaiser White at all?
Very much. I'm worried about Devin Wood. He only played 30-something percent of the snaps this past week.
Hey, really?
Chad Muma. Muma time.
We talked about Muma. Chad Muma before the season, man.
Chad Muma played 100% snaps.
Man.
Devin Lloyd played like 31%. And they had talked about it because Lloyd came out of the gate on absolute fire. Last month or so, he's been poo. It's just the truth.
Well, this is the first week they flipped too. I didn't even realize that last week Lloyd was down to 60% of the snaps and Mumo was up to 40.
And this week, like you said,
138.
After that 60-40 game, they talked about, you know, maybe we need to get Mumo on the field more. And apparently they made the decision. And then you look, the Jaguars then go out and beat the Ravens. So, I'm worried about Lloyd. And I think that you definitely got to put Mumo on your list of potential waiver wire. Didn't have great numbers. I think he had 9 total tackles, but it was only like 4 solos. So, yeah. Not great. Not great, but not terrible. I think you got to – I mean, if you – it's just not easy to find a linebacker playing 100% of the snaps 13 weeks in the regular season. So, you got to put him on your waiver wire wish list. He was my IDP pickup of the week this week at Fantasy Church.
I like it. Yeah, Chad Mumo. We talked about him before the season. I remember DMing you during the draft, and I went, ugh, Mumo to Jacksonville after they just signed Olakun and they drafted Lloyd. Yikes. Yeah, but, this is the point in the season where the rookies start to hit the wall. We've seen Dameon Pierce hit the wall. Maybe Kenneth Walker is hitting it. Obviously, these guys have been used way more than most rookies. This is the rookie wall because this is the end of the regular season for college football would be this week, right? This past week, week 13, this week for college is conference championships. And then we have one more game of bowls, but we have 6 more weeks of football of NFL football for these guys. So some of these guys are starting to hit the wall. So not a surprise that in this week is where we see Devin Lloyd kind of take the downturn here. Guys, to add, you mentioned Caden Ellis is 19% rostered.
That's ridiculous.
14 tackles for the Saints this week. He has been outstanding. Landon Roberts had 16 points. He had 8 solos and a sack. Cody Barton back up to 12 tackles after everyone released him. We talked about James Houston with his 2 sacks. Those were his only 2 tackles. 11 total tackles and or for Ernest Jones. Who's been, I think that's like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, he's had double-digit tackles.
Jones, his per-snap productivity is great. He plays like 55, 60% of the snaps, but fairly consistently goes out there and puts up good numbers. And Seattle's not a terrible matchup. If you think the Seahawks are going to be playing from ahead in that game, which is not exactly a huge stretch, then you're going to see a lot of Kenneth Walker. There should tackle opportunities should be there.
Yeah, this was actually one of his lower snap percentages too, but I mean, they're just on defense more. He played 64% of snaps this week, Gary, and 84% last week, but he had one more snap on defense this week because they were on defense so much with Bryce Perkins. So, they're keeping him right around, I guess, maybe 65 snap or 50 snaps somewhere in that neighborhood. Jalen Smith, Jamin Davis, Damone Clark. It was really good. AJ Klein and Keanu Neal on that list as well. So, but I mean, this is Ellis, Ernest, Cody Barton. What was his snap percentage, Cody Barton? Because we were all panic button on him.
I do know that the last game before the bye, he was up to like 80%.
But I'm looking at it right now.
Pete Carroll,
he's 73%. So, yeah, 56 Pete Carroll,
they're talking him up. Hey, you know what? That's
good enough.
We're going to have to learn to live with guys that are 70, 75%, especially when they're going out and putting up another tackle. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Barton, Ellis is far and away the top guy.
Yeah, Ellis has been outstanding. He really has.
Like you said, Barton's up there. I think Jamin Davis is worth a look because Cole Holcomb is not coming back anytime soon. So, that has meant more snaps for Davis. And he has taken advantage of those. So, I mean, the under 50% guys – could be a lot worse for as late in the season as it is. So at least if you need a linebacker, there's a few guys to choose from. Landon Roberts, I don't know that I'd go chasing after that because he only played like 45% of the snaps. So I worry that that's – even though they're playing San Francisco, which you think would be a good matchup, it feels like kind of a fluky stat line. So he would be down the list a ways for me. Be like an emergency in case break glass type of guy.
4 defensive backs, I mean, the usual suspects here. Julian Love, Derwin James, Legarius Sneed, all 15 points or more. Picks for all three of those guys, forced fumble also for Derwin. Then we have Kenny Moore getting, he got hurt, but he had 10 tackles against Pittsburgh. Their defense was on the field a lot for the Colts last night. Poyer had 10 tackles as well. Hufanga had a forced fumble. That guy has been outstanding this year. He is kind of big play dependent, but he has been good. Petrie, Harrison Smith, Mike Edwards, Marlon Humphrey, and Cam Curl all on the good list. The bad list here, Gary, Tyrann Mathieu, only 3 solo stops. Tariq Woolen didn't get a turnover finally this week. Jesse Bates, Donovan Wilson, Sauce, Jonathan Owens, bad week after we just talked him up, only 1 solo and 1 assist. CJ Gardner-Johnson got hurt, and Jeremy Chinn back down to 1 solo and 1, or that's it, actually just 1 solo.
Well, I mean, with Chinn, they played Denver, whose offense is hot garbage. Right. That Miami-Houston game was weird because Miami raced out to that big lead and then pulled the first team off.
Both sides were benching people at the end of the game, right?
Right. So I don't know that I'd read too much into that. So I wouldn't worry about either.
Yeah, Owens played, I guess he's kind of normal for what he's been, 80% of the snaps. 61.
Yeah, but he spent half the damn game going up against Skylar Thompson, and the Dolphins were just going out there and going 3-and-out over and over and over, and they weren't throwing the ball. I mean, why would you? You're up 30-0.
They barely covered after getting out to like 27-0.
I don't want to talk about it. I thought for sure I was going to get backdoored on that one. I was sweating.
Hey, you still won. You'll take it, even if it's close.
Win. Yeah, I didn't have a great week, though. 7-8-1. Ugh.
I mean, so when Jesse Bates is somewhere else next year, are we going to be more bought in, or are we taking this season as a warning, Gary?
Let's see where he winds up.
Okay.
Because I mean,
that's
fair. See,
I'm just a little worried right now.
Right now, there's more deep safety than box safety, and before he had overcome that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could land somewhere where maybe they look at him as more of a box safety. So. You know, if I'm a dynasty, if you got a share of Jesse Bates in dynasty, I wouldn't give him away or drop him or anything. Just stash him at the back end of your bench. Like you said, he's going to be playing somewhere else next year. So just wait and see. How about Cam Taylor Britt, IDP goldmine rookie corner rule guy?
I mean, 7 solos and an assist for him this week. He's definitely
second,
on the list.
Second straight big game.
13 points. Ruby
and
Ford.
This week plays the Chiefs.
Yep, Ruby Ford is on this list as well for Green Bay. He was good filling in. Jonathan Jones, Quandre Diggs, Arthur Millette had a sack. Taylor Rapp, Derek Forrest, Michael Davis, Kyle Duggar. All these guys are under 50%. Duggar's 47, but all these guys, Nick Scott, Marco Wilson, Gilman, Cisco, Blankenship had a pick. Daron Harmon. Did you see Daron Harmon hit DK Metcalf as hard as he possibly could, and Metcalf acted like a mosquito landed on his arm, like he didn't even hit him. It was unbelievable. But obviously, you're big on Cam Taylor Britt. That's a great call, especially with them playing Kansas City this week. Kansas City allowing the second most passing touchdowns this year, so since he's definitely going to be passing against them, is there anybody else who else did you put in your article you want to pick up at defensive back?
Oh, I think I had Adrian Amos in there, at least nine tackles in 3 straight games. I'm not sure who's going to fill in for Eddie Jackson yet, so I'm a little leery of investing heavily in, because DeAndre Houston Carson played last week, but he was kind of playing in place of Brisker. So if Brisker comes back, I'm not sure if it'll be Houston Carson or if it'll be Dane Cruikshank.
Yeah, not great options either way. Yeah,
you're right. Daron Harmon's not a bad pickup. I mean, he's not great. He's not going to go out there and get 12, 15 tackles, but he's also probably not going to go out there and get 2.
He's been decent as a, you know, the John Abram replacement. He's been fine. Yeah.
Right. He's playing every snap or just about every snap. So he'd be another guy that I'd look at. Hey, your odds are this late in the season, you're not looking, at least I'm not, because I don't necessarily look for my defensive backs to put up a huge game. My team is built around defensive linemen and linebackers. And then I just want a defensive back who's not going to go out there and crack the bed. And Daron Harmon is that kind of guy.
I'm with you. All right. I think that's everything, Gary. I mean, these shows are getting quicker, but we know who the guys are for the most part. You know, there's injuries to deal with. There's little things in the season. But yeah, that's why I asked you the question at the beginning of the show, is just to see who we completely turned around on. And there's some good names in there.
So, now don't start me on Chandler Jones. I'll just let loose with a string of obscenities.
I didn't mention his name.
Oh my God. My defensive line and or edge rushers, depending on whether you're playing true position or not, just killing me in so many leagues. Cause I Leonard Floyd and Chandler Jones and guys like that everywhere. And they ain't done.
Well, you took those guys in different spots. Leonard Floyd was free. Chandler Jones wasn't, you know, so.
Yeah, but I got Jones fairly late. That's one of the reasons that I wound up with so many of these kind of aging veteran edge guys, was I waited a little bit. And I'm like, because especially if you play in a league like with true position where you've got the 3-4 rush linebackers in there too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league
is cooking.
Welcome in, friendos, to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. It's an off-season episode. It's best ball time. That's right. Bogman and I conducted and are still conducting a best ball draft on the interwebs on Fantrax with some of our favorites over in the ITL Army. We've got one going on. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk to you guys about best balls. We're going to talk to you about what happened in the drafts. We're going to talk to you about some of the highest projections as far as points go, because Bogman, it's points. It's not always roto. My brain instantly goes to the TGFBI standard of things, and also NFBC formats have a lot of rotisserie. But what you learn when you go out into the wild, Bogman, is everything is not the same. Like Fantrax, when you create one, we have not found a way to create a rotisserie version, or take Underdog, for example. They're not even open, but they only do a points-based best ball. So they're not all created equal. And this is a points-based best ball that we'll be breaking down and talking about today.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all you can play now. So in terms of best ball. So I'm sure there's you can on like NFBC and stuff, but very few places are open right now or just ready to go with like a best ball format that is not points.
So, I mean, it is literally Fantrax and NFBC is where you're doing it. That's it. I mean, like I said, I actually talked with Underdog, and Underdog does not have their best ball formats going quite yet. So those are the two places. There is, I noticed in like the Fantrax lobby, you can like sign up on a rotisserie, but if you want to make any custom ones, I mean, you got to have a degree in learning to be able to put that bad boy together. Because you couldn't figure it out, and you're kind of like the commish wizard. You couldn't figure out where the hell.
Yeah,
you would
there's
make
definitely people that are better than me, but I, you know, I'm agreed sitting there that. Like you can do all. Thank you. You can do all of the stats and everything, but what you can't do is make it so it like automatically puts the best player each day into the spot. So you would still have to manually change your own lineup, even if you can't do any movement. So. We're not doing that. You know, that's way too much work.
You just want to sign up on it. But either way, what we're going to do
is make it easy. I don't understand why. Like, if you can do it for points, you could do it for roto. I don't understand why it doesn't work. Why is there not just a button you can click to go from points to roto? But yeah. I'm not running anything. So there you go.
Yes, sir. So we're going to be breaking down a points-based mock real draft for money that I totally knew was points based when I made my first pick. I totally did not think it was roto based, which we'll talk about. And
my fault too. So
I mean, a little bit. I should have looked though. I should have looked. But yeah, I also broke the news to you.
It's not my fault. No, you didn't. I knew it was points, but I mean, I just assumed everyone knew it was points because I assumed if you sign up for a league, you put money into it. Maybe you look at the settings at all, but I
no. But see,
that's just
you
a
and
me thing, I guess. It's just it's, me.
You know, and I have think been that having this debate. Look at the rules. You know this. You should know this by now. You and I have been having this debate for 5 years because, not to your fault, you will do for listener leagues. You'll set up a listener league. And then something will happen and someone will complain and you'll be like, well, I assume people, or we'll do our entry leagues. You'll be like, well, I assume. And I'm like, nope, stop there. Because you should never assume that everyone will do all the things. There's always, always going to be
people. Let me rephrase it. Instead of me assuming people will do their stuff, how about I just say, whose fault is it for not looking? That's all I'll say.
And agreed. And 100%. Okay. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But you should never assume. But that's right. In the discussion we talk about when it's like there are things to tell people. And I think it was even like our brains just opened up like, oh, yeah, crap. We were thinking 100% rotisserie best ball. We didn't even think points. Probably something that people need to pay attention to when you're jumping into those. And you should look, and you should definitely look. So we'll be breaking all of that bad boy down. And we might even have a NFBC one next week. We got to come to terms. Bogman, I have to come to terms with it because I can't play and Bogman doesn't want to set lineups. So we've got to figure out how to.
I'm done setting lineups. I will do no. There's no more TGFBI for me. There's no more retired. Other distracting. I'm done. There's no more. I just won't pay attention. You know, I have too many teams in too many spots, and with daily moves for most of my leagues because I like daily moves, but I don't like daily moves for 30,000 teams. So
yeah, well, these are weekly moves and NFBC. Yeah, these are like weekly moves.
That's I understand they're weekly moves, but that means if you forget on Sunday, you're just screwed. So, you know, also don't like that. And because Sunday is my most distracting.
But best balls are designed. So I think we just got to make sure we're looking in the right spot. Because I believe, if I remember correctly, now that I'm looking at this, we got to look at the rules. I think these bad boys, these 50s, these NFBC 50s, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any lineup setting. The more that I look at it, I think it's just supposed to be a traditional best ball. So all I'm getting at is it's kind of a best ball time, best ball points that's today and best ball next week on the rotisserie. I think we're going to do an NFBC 50, which we are going to be filling in the ITL army. It is officially December. It is the final month of this damn year. And we really hope you guys want to ball out with us because this is going to be a big month. Hey, we're going to be doing an NFBC draft. We might do one or two more. Bogman and I are going to obviously share a team in that one, but you have an opportunity to play with us in that format, in other formats of best balls, join up with mock drafts. Plus, this is a huge month because I am like 99% done with my writing in the Fantasy Black Book, which means I'm going to be finalizing my redraft ranks, which I've been working on as they've gone through each position. I'm going to be putting that on Patreon this month with the prospect top 500, the dynasty, and P1 ADPs are starting next week for a prospect ADP. We are dropping it hard this month over on our Patreon, and we're getting you prepped for fantasy baseball right now. If you guys want to come out big, you want to support us, please consider coming checking us out at inthisleague.com. You'll get those ranks for only the $5 level. You want to boost up a little bit, you can be a part of the community, hook up with the guys in the GroupMe rooms to set up leagues, maybe NFBCs, and that's where we fill our mock drafts and any type of best ball that we're going to do. And you are directly supporting us. That is like how we keep surviving and we can make more content. I got ideas for more content this year. We just got to make sure everybody is coming out for us, hanging with us, and check it out today. InThisLeague.com. Come and sign up. Even if you just want to give it a 1 month trial, do it to end out the year. And we would be very, very happy with you. InThisLeague.com takes you to the Patreon. Sign up today. We salute you. Hopefully not the few, but the very proud ITL Army members. We've got some news, Bogman, and the big sign. I think this is actually a big signing. I know there, I saw some like lateral takes on it and whatnot, but Jose Abreu signed with the Astros and he had been rumored to go to the Padres. I think this is a win-win on both sides. It is a huge win for the Astros upgrading for, even though Jose Abreu is like Yuli Gurriel on steroids, if you know what I mean. Like they're kind of the same player, except Abreu has theoretical better power numbers in the past. It's just kind of wavered a little bit as he's gotten older.
He probably will with the Crawford boxes.
But now you're going to go into a more hitter-friendly environment with, you know, the White Sox are definitely a team like on the rise, but you want to compare RBI and run opportunities on the White Sox and Astros, that ain't the same. It ain't the same when you got Altuve and Bregman and Kyle Tucker. You're in a Altuve, Bregman, Tucker sandwich compared to like Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, who combined maybe play 160 games a year. It's not, and Yoán Moncada is just a shell. Yoán Moncada now is just a shell of any offense. This is a much better environment. It's a much better lineup around him. He has a chance to really pop. I actually wrote some stuff about some of the underlying numbers on him that should have rebounded regardless this year of his destination. I'm very, very much about this move, but though I know a lot of people were kind of like, yeah, it's kind of lateral. No, I think this moved him maybe even a tier up of more consistency.
For him, it absolutely is a move up. I think the move from, you know, the Mancini-Gurriel stack might be somewhat lateral for the Astros, but for him, this is a fantastic spot. Like you said, all the thing you just said, the underlying numbers are great. The lineup is better. The ballpark is better. Yeah, this is a huge signing and really the first and only big signing that we've had so far, which still just drives me nuts. Like, why is Aaron Judge not signed yet?
You say that it's about to pick up. The winter meetings are kicking off next week as we're recording this podcast. Things are going to boost. By the way, here's a note I had on Abreu, a little preview of the Fantasy Black Book, because I'm doing a whole bunch more on this. ISO this year dropped from 300 in 2020 down to 141. He had a power decrease that was highlighted by his launch angle, which was a low launch angle. And the first time he had a home run fly ball ratio that was under 9.6, but he still had a top 10 percentile in exit velocity and X slug. He was out there. I mean, one of the unique things I put up was that I like this one. If you looked at based on his expected home runs in different MLB ballparks and Baseball Savant, Abreu would have hit 20 homers or more with 8 different teams, and one team, which is pretty easy to guess, he would have hit 28 homers. So 8 different teams, he would have been able to pop over 20 homers with, I think, some low lining stuff that didn't work in his way. It's like 22 homers, he might push his RBI and run totals than he's ever done before. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I'm about this move.
I mean, he's won an MVP before, right? So, he's been huge in the past. I think he's past that, his prime, obviously. You know, he's older guy. Was he the last defector from Cuba to come over to the United States? I'm not sure if he was the last. I remember he came over during the last World Baseball
Didn't because he came
right?
after World Puig, Baseball right? Classic. Didn't he come
yes.
after Puig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Puig's in some trouble, boy.
Puig is in some trouble. Yeah. Did you see? He lied, and then it got admitted that he was gambling like a crazy degree. There's a story. I read this whole story about it. So like he lied under oath, which is going to really ding him, obviously. And he was betting to a point where he owed a bookie like 200 grand that they were coming for him. And like he cut a check one round. I think they came to the ballpark or whatever. He like cut a check for them for like 200 grand. Like it was messy and dirty, and he lied about it. And I think he's going to be extradited to the US if I'm understanding that correctly. I don't know. It's dirty. He's done. He had kind of this nice little revamp in the KBO, I think it is. And then he had that fun little Twitter exchange about like, hey, my mental health and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, you probably were holding in some serious stuff, like, you know, gambling excessively on sports, and I believe baseball as well. So it's pretty bad. Pretty bad for Puig. So Puig, not your friend right now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Someone was right about him the whole time.
Oh, interesting. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to do the whole like, oh, so right about him. By the way, Abreu, as far as his ADP, I believe he was going in. Let's take a look here. Let's do a control. He was going 125 with a high now of 85, though. It was not in the top 100 a week or so ago. Over 55 drafts on NFBC. He's got that
Houston
ADP.
Lineup will help you. So
I think he could crack the top 100. Like, you have Rhys Hoskins above him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go above. But we'll see. You know, we'll see how the whole thing goes. It's manic how values and stuff go. You don't want to get too ahead of yourself but this is a pretty good signing. Some other important ones that are looming, we're also going to talk about some rumors. Aaron Judge, the rumor going out there, is going to make his decision soon. And again, you know, you were complaining about everything. The winter meetings are, I believe, this weekend. I think they start this weekend, and that's going to get things going. And I think they go throughout the week. So the expectation is we're going to have some serious movement. The Diamondbacks, Mike Hazen has talked about that any moves are going to get big here. I think you don't want to get like too excited about it, but I think you're going to see some of the big dogs fall off of this market here.
Well, this is where we have the big trades. The big trades always come from the off-season trades, always come from the winter meetings. I'm just surprised by the...
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
A lack of signings because these guys have been available.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for
it. In this league.
What's his
name? In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
They just don't want to spend. Ready to sign, you know.
Baseball is like it's more tooth pulling. They just don't want to spend right away, and they have to keep proving it, and agents have to say this team's involved, and blah blah blah. It's so much more of a grind in baseball free agency than it is anywhere else. Like in basketball, here's the reason:
money is guaranteed.
You know what the money is?
Capped.
Yes. Yeah. Basketball.
Same
it is
thing
capped.
In NFL. In baseball, what I'm saying is there's it's a lot of money and it's all guaranteed. In football and basketball, there, you know how much money and it's capped. So
yeah, basketball, it's literally like, here is what the max is. That's right. And football is, it's a relative rough structure with unguaranteed. Baseball, it's just an absolute mess. So I think that's why it's a much bigger dance. Jacob DeGrom, the rumors have been going with the Rangers. There's something about the Rays having interest. There's no chance. There's no chance they're going to spend that money. I know the Mets are still looking at potentially coming back, but the Rangers are the most fascinating, just, you know, simply because of the cost and how much they've been spending.
I wouldn't count the Rays completely out. I'd say it's an out of character move for them, but it's all, you know, I think it might be the point where they're pushing some chips in. We saw the D-backs do this with Greinke and then with Bumgarner afterwards, where they give a guy too much money. Hopefully they see what happened to Arizona and they don't do that. I think Texas is still the most likely buyer.
I think the Rays are, I think it's a joke. I think that is the team just being like, we're interested.
Yeah, but you thought that when we signed Greinke, and you thought that when we signed Bumgarner. So like, I'm just all
the Diamondbacks are really stupid. The Rays have no history of spending money.
Neither did the Diamondbacks, dude, until
Diamondbacks, for, like, they bought championships.
Randy, yeah, the first 4 years when Jerry Colangelo literally went broke. That was the only time they spent money.
I mean, it was out of character what the Diamondbacks did Goldie when they did it. Like, but I'm saying the Rays have no history of big spending. So I have a hard time believing one of the top pitchers on the market is they're going to go and get.
You're probably right. I'm just saying, like, they're looking for somebody. It's not going to be DeGrom. It looks like they're ready to spend money somewhere. So I think you're right. I don't think it's going to be an enormous contract like, you know, Verlander or DeGrom or something, but they're ready to push the chips in somewhere. So they'll sign some players.
Yeah, I mean, DeGrom statistically would be fun. It's just, you know, it's just not the destination I think it will be. There's mutual interest between the Phillies and Trey Turner.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.